under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
You're listening to The Truth, 91.7 FM.
Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you jump on board. Join in the dialogue and discussion that we have each and every day. Let me remind you, the purpose for Let's Face the Issues is to draw you into the conversation that we might talk about issues, things, theological, doctrinal truth, political, civil government truth, that you might ask questions. We respond with answers, recommendations, and we do so based on the authority of the Scripture. Let me remind you, it's not a Baptist belief. It's not a denominational dogma or political rhetoric. It is absolute theological doctrinal truth as to what we speak about, what we talk about, and the fundamentals of the faith of what the Word of God says. As we face the issues we're talking about today, by the way, an issue that I believe is right at this very point, very, very important, especially in the Christian community. We're talking about an issue, the danger of private interpretation. You ever heard anybody say, well, you know, I've found something nobody else has ever seen? Let me tell you some of the things that God has just told me to tell you, but you can't verify it in the Scripture. Have you ever seen that to take place? We're going to talk about that today. And in that, we'll discuss the rapture of the church and the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll talk about the different views of the rapture and the return. And then we'll talk about the correct view, the theologically correct view, theological sound view. Listen, if we take Scripture without a chronological view, if we take Scripture without a chronological timeline, as my bride calls it, which is correct, if we look at it on that basis, we do not have biblical theological truth. We simply have some type mixture of biblical soup and not biblical theology, theological truth. There's a difference, ladies and gentlemen. Without biblical chronology, we only have biblical mush and not the truth of the Word of God. And that's what I'm finding that is so prevalent in society today, so prevalent in our churches today, so prevalent in what is being taught theologically, doctrinally, and biblically today, that, in fact, my wife said many years ago, we've repeated it a number of times, it is a miracle that anybody gets saved because of the number of voices that's out there in the doctrinal, biblical, theological, Christian world. It's a whole juxtaposition of half-truths, and I believe there's a problem with that. That's the reason it's necessary for us to recognize the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. I call it the truth book. John 8:31-32, Jesus says, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. John 14:6, Jesus says, I am truth. John 17:17, the Bible makes a declaratory statement about the word of God. Thy word is truth. Psalm 117:2, the Bible says, the truth of the Lord endures forever. We need to understand that. From the standpoint of human Christianity, we need to recognize that the first, final, and foremost authority is not what I say, not what some quote theologian says, but what does the Word of God say? What does the Bible say in relationship to the truth of the Word of God? Ladies and gentlemen, 2 Peter 1:20-21, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old times by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved, that's the word born, to be carried along by the Holy Spirit. But ladies and gentlemen, that's a text that most have not paid attention to. And as a result of that, there's a private interpretation of looking at the scripture and saying, you know, I'm looking at it through my own prism. Recently, I had a pastor, love him in the Lord, but he just happened to be wrong. When we talked about scripture, we talked about theological doctrinal truth, we talked about the rapture of the church and the return of Christ. He said, well, you realize we all see the scripture through a different lens. What does that mean? We look at it through a different lens. There's not but one lens, and that's the Word of God. We need to look at the Word of God through the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant context that God has given us in the Scripture. But we have today so many, even in the Christian world, that cannot defend the truth of the Word of God. I look at what was said by Orwell, George Orwell, the secularist of yesteryear. The further society drifts from the truth, more it will hate those who speak it. And ladies and gentlemen, that's factual, whether it's in the political world, the biblical world, or societal world in general. We need to understand that there's only one truth, and that's the truth of the Word of God. And yet we find, according to the latest survey, most younger Americans say there's no absolute truth. If there's no absolute truth, what do we go to depend on? How do we know what we can depend on? What can we count on as being infallible truth of the Word of God? We must look at the Scripture through the lens of the eye of God and the purpose of God and what He said from Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22:22. It is God's revelation of Himself to man, and we find everything that God gives us, it's not holy mush, it's not a juxtaposition of some truth, it's all truth, and there's no error in the Word of God. Ladies and gentlemen, I go back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Jan Hus says, faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death. And that's what we do every day on this broadcast. We take a stand on what is truth. I understand some folks get a little perturbed with it. Some get excited about it and want to challenge it. That's all right. In fact, we always enjoy having dialogue and discussion with either side of the fence, if you please. By the way, lest I forget it, that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of the day's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of homeowner brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has the full line of Honda generators and a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about power backup equipment. The knowledgeable staff at Tools for Time can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291. That's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. Perhaps you say, how do I find it? It's right at the intersection of I-295 Beltway and Old St. Augustine Road. There's an identifier, a benchmark, on the campus of Tools for Time. There's a 165-foot flagpole. Atop that flagpole flows Old Glory, the U.S. flag 24-7. Find that flag and the flagpole, the base of the flagpole, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, a brief amount of time will take to finish our monologue. We'll open our telephone lines and invite you to call and join in the dialogue and discussion. Let me set the stage. By the way, I have with me today Dr. Glenn Davis. Dr. Davis hails from up in Folkestone, Georgia. Dr. Davis, thank you for taking the journey, being with us in the studio today as we talk about this issue. Thank you for coming.
Thank you so much, Dr. Youngblood. And I give honor to God, amen, today, and I thank Him for allowing me, amen, to make a safe journey, amen, over these dangerous highways and byways. And I thank God for the opportunity to be able to share back with God's people. I want to say good morning, amen, to my bride of 39 years and all of my friends and family. that are listening on today. And we certainly hope that the church will get something from this. We're talking about the believers in Christ Jesus, not the ones who are just attending church on Sunday.
Yes.
Amen. It's very important for you to know there is a difference. Amen. So these promises, amen. And I won't say it like that. We're putting emphasis on this because what we are sharing with you from what the discussion will be about on today are the promises from the Word of God to every believer that there is going to be a rapture.
Oh, man, yes.
There is going to be, amen, a heavenly home for us to live in. But first, the judgment must come.
That's right.
We must understand, amen, that the believers will stand before the Bema seat, judgment seat of Christ, to receive your reward for all the hard work, amen, that you're putting in towards his kingdom right now. But the unbelievers will face eternal punishment. So let's make sure we listen up today and get the fullness, amen, from the discussion.
Amen. I'm thankful for that. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Davis, this just came to me in preparation for the broadcast today. Maybe our listeners recall, maybe you recall, Dr. Davis. I can recall very clearly of this fact. Perhaps you recall a time when you had bought something online. upon receipt of your product that you had bought, it comes in a package, you open it up, you realize you've got to assemble it. You have assembly instructions in the box with the product that you've ordered. You cast aside the multiple page. Sometimes the instructions are multiple pages. So you say, I'm not going to read that. I think I can put this thing together. And you put it together. It's like putting that jigsaw puzzle together. You put it together. You get through, ladies and gentlemen, putting it together, and you discover that the item that you assembled just seems not to work at all. It doesn't work as you'd planned. It doesn't operate as it is supposed to do as you have bought it to do so. Perhaps you discover that you even left some parts out that's still on the kitchen counter where you put that product together. You find it, well, ladies and gentlemen, it's my opinion, this is exactly what is happening today in the theological, doctrinal, biblical arena. People are taking the scripture and they're picking and choosing the verses that they want to use, and they're doing so out of context. I've talked about this so many times, Dr. Davis. What if I'm out of town for 6 months? I receive a letter from my wife, and it's 10 pages. And I read the first page, the third page, and the 10th page, put it back in the mailbox, go back and get it the next day, and I start reading some more pages. I have it in a juxtaposition order. I don't have it in full flow chronologically as she has written the letter for me to understand. Well, God's word is his love letter to us, as some have deemed it, and it is written in a chronological form. It's written in order. It's not a doctrinal mush. It is theological soundness. And yet Christians today, pastors, preachers, teachers, quote, theologians, they have a habit, a bad habit, of following what somebody of yesteryear said. They want to make a decision based on what Origen said, based on what others have said, like St. Augustine and others that they have looked at and read about, and maybe they have renowned background. But listen, I'm concerned about what God says, not what St. Augustine says, or Martin Luther says, or Origen says, or any of the other so-called fathers of the faith. They're human beings. Now listen, ladies and gentlemen, let me just put a little parenthetical footnote. I enjoy research and writing. God's given me the privilege of publishing a number of books down through the years, and I'm thankful for that. But I can make a mistake. I can make an error. God's book, the Bible, does not have an error in it.
Amen.
It is not. It is infallible. It is not fallible. But ladies and gentlemen, listen. The Bible warns of those trying to have their own interpretation. I read that a moment ago. There's no private interpretation. And Dr. Davis, that word private interpretations, no private untwisting of the rope.
Amen.
If you look at a rope, it's got several strands, and if you untwist it, you've got several pieces. You don't have a rope. And that's what people do with theology today, with biblical doctrine today. And God's word warns us of false prophets, false teachers, another gospel, and adding to or diminishing from the truth of the word of God.
And here's another thing that the people of God need to understand, Dr. Youngblood. And well, of course, let me, before I say this, the people of God will believe in his word. Mm-hmm. They trust his word. because they love God and know him. But I'm talking about those who read the Bible, going back to what you just explained, to try to give a private interpretation of it. Mm-hmm. And once they get down to the last analysis, they say, I don't believe it. Mm-hmm. Okay, just because you don't believe it doesn't mean it's not going to happen.
That's right.
We have to understand that God said, Jesus said, amen, in the scriptures, and that's still God, mm-hmm. before one jot or one tittle of my word fail, the heaven and the earth will pass away.
That's right.
That's a lot of power.
That's right.
So if we think about what's here and how we're living on this planet, and he has promised that there won't be anything here if one I is not dotted and what one T is not crossed, we better learn how to trust in his word.
Absolutely. And the key for us to understand theological, doctrinal, biblical, eschatological truth is to understand a chronology of what's going to take place. So let me very briefly state this, and then we'll open our telephone lines this morning. But next thing on the calendar of God is the rapture of the church. There are no signs to be fulfilled before the rapture of the church takes place. The rapture of the church is the word rapturus. It is the Latin word meaning snatching away. And there's some that say, well, rapture is not in the scripture. The English word rapture is not there. But the understanding of it is there. The word rapture does not occur in the English translation of the Bible. The term comes from the Latin word meaning carrying off, to transport, to suddenly snatch away. The word rapture is not in the Bible, but the concept of is clearly taught of the sudden seizure, the snatching away, especially in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18. So we're going to talk about the rapture of the church. Following the rapture of the church, the man of sin, the Antichrist, steps on the scene and rules for 7 years with the tribulation. The tribulation is the wrath, the W-R-A-T-H, of God. The wrath of God will be poured out upon all of the earth. Then at the end of the wrath of God being poured out, the 7 years of tribulation, which Daniel chapter 9, verses 24 through 27 says, it is for my people, talking about the Jewish people, and the first 3.5 years of the tribulation, God's dealing with a global non-believer, and then the last 3.5 years, he's dealing specifically with his people, the Jewish people, so that they might recognize Yeshua Messiah, whom we have slain, Zechariah chapter 12, verse 7 and following, and they will weep and wail as the loss of a firstborn son and receive Yeshua Messiah and be brought into the millennial kingdom with the church age saints. As we go into that, we have then the rapture of the church, 7 years of ruin, the tribulation, the return of the Lord Jesus Christ for the 1,000-year reign of Christ, that's the millennial reign, the conclusion of the millennial reign, the Lord Jesus Christ destroys the Antichrist, he destroys the every aspect of the Antichrist and the false prophet, and Satan himself is cast into hell. Then we go into that place called heaven and throughout all of eternity. The point that I make is God has a chronology of what's going to take place. You get that chronology out of order and you have biblical soup. You do not have biblical doctrinal theology.
Amen.
And that's the danger of it. I believe we have Dan on the line. Dan, go over with the question and comment, please.
Well, gentlemen, I have a question and a comment. Now, did I get it wrong, but it was okay with the Democratic leadership for Biden to do pre-pardons on people that may have done criminal acts? I got that right, did I?
Correct.
Okay. Then why can't we have President Trump give a pre-pardon to David Horowitz so he can expose Epstein Island and the truth? He made the statement. He knows all the names, the people, the facts, everything. Make sure that he knows that he will not be prosecuted by breaking the court order not to expose it.
What you know, thoughts? That's a unique thought, a fresh thought. I had not considered that. That's logical. However, my most humble opinion, I'll say this and then we will get back to the rapture subject, but this is all right. I believe that there's so many global elitists on that list that there is a perhaps ripe fear, angst, if you will, that if that is mm-hmm. revealed, it will destroy international relationships and it will be an estoppel to what Trump is wanting to do with building a great economy and a relationship through trade with other nations. That's just my opinion. I think that we have some of the highest names that you can think of on that list. And so
I believe you entirely on that thought. But here's my thought too. Lucifer had a residence on Epstein Island. And that evil that was perpetrated is of such great magnitude that I can't help but think it must come out so it'll never, ever happen again. We have the world at large now with the media and how fast and how easy it is communicating and the internet, the whole nine yards, to prove that it did exist and to state that, and let God state, it must never happen again, I think has a supreme authority and power over do or don't get it out.
Absolutely. Well, Dan, I can succinctly state it with the Youngblood parenthetical footnote to what you said and what I would believe. Sunshine is the best bleach there is.
Yeah.
And I believe opening the door and putting it out in the sunshine and not necessarily free willy say, let it chips fall where they may. That's not the point. But getting it in the light so it stops the, right now there are a lot of people, even on the Republican side of the aisle, that are believing that Trump is not wanting it to be open because, quote, he's in there. Alan Dershowitz, as a constitutional lawyer. Alan Dershowitz was the attorney for Epstein back in, I believe it was the 2006 trial. He has the knowledge of everything that's in that file. And he says it would absolutely be mind-boggling to know the names that's in the file. He said there are names, there is a file, and he is familiar with it. He is, by court order, silenced that he cannot talk about it. So probably starting with that being released at the court order Alan Dershowitz, as well as Horowitz that you spoke of, that it might be cleansing for the world to know what is in there. It would, my only problem, I think once that happens, it will be so earth-shaking that it will retard what Trump has on the agenda for the balance of his term in office. That's my belief.
Well, what
That's
does God
my thought.
Have on the agenda? That's the thing. What's
That's
God's
the thing.
Agenda?
It goes back to truth always prevails.
That's right.
Truth always prevails.
The word of God.
Absolutely. Dan, thank you, brother, for your call.
You
God bless
care,
you.
Take care, gentlemen. Have a wonderful weekend.
God bless you.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, the telephone number is 904-831-0917. I have Dr. Glenn Davis with me. We're talking about the subject is the danger of private interpretation of the Scripture. And there's nothing any more difficult in the modern scene than to have the correct understanding of the eschatological prophetic text, starting with the rapture of the church. Let me just read a very brief paragraph of what one writer said that I believe is solid. The rapture of the church is the event in which God snatches away all believers from the earth in order to make way for his righteous judgment to be poured out on the earth. The rapture is described primarily in 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 through 18, 1 Corinthians 15, 50 through 54. God will resurrect all believers who have died, give them glorified bodies, take them from the earth, along with all living believers who will also be given glorified bodies at that time. End quote. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe we need to understand what God says is factual. I believe that we need to recognize that immediately following the rapture of the church will be the man of sin, the Antichrist, that will step on the scene, rule and reign for 7 years of God's wrath being poured out on a Christ-rejecting, Bible-hating, God-denying society. Ladies and gentlemen, these are just a few of the illogical, irrational, false beliefs and teachings about the prophetic end times. And that is that some are saying the rapture is not going to happen. Dr. Davis, if there's no rapture, then what?
Well, when we consider that, then Dr. Youngblood, all hope is lost for all believers. Mm-hmm. And I'm talking about the universal body of Christ.
That's right.
I mean, Old Testament and New, not just us today. Mm-hmm. That means everybody who died in hopes that Christ was going to rule and reign one day, not just to raise us back to eternal life, but to bring God's kingdom to the earth. Mm-hmm. All of that is lost.
That's right.
If there's not going to be any rapture. So then, listen, let's make sure that we wax bold in the faith today and not let people, and I understand people have a lot of respect for John Calvin and some of the old reformers back in the day, you know, who taught various things. And we may not get into every area about what those teachings are today, but when we look at TULIP, you know, mm-hmm. all these things that he taught about that doesn't fully align with the Bible.
Absolutely.
Everyone that comes along and teach things from a religious standpoint always pull an element of truth from the scripture, but it's designed to deceive instead of help people.
Absolutely. Well, here's some things, Dr. Davis, that I want us to bound about before we get into the essence of some of the belief systems. For example, you have the post-tribulation view, you have the amillennialist view, you have the pre-tribulation view, and you have the mid-tribulation view of end-time prophetic eschatological truth. So we're going to talk about a brief overview, and then which one is the correct view, and how do we know that to be the correct view? But does it make any difference? Ladies and gentlemen, here's a question for you. Love to hear from you. 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. We're talking about today the danger of private interpretation of the scripture. When I say private, I'm talking about where one individual or an individual or groups of individuals decide that we're going to go contrary to what the Bible says in chronological order. We're going to just take it and mix it up with this verse, this verse, this verse, and build our own doctrine, but our own theology. So does it matter if you believe in the rapture or not? Yes, it does. There's some that say, well, it does. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, I've heard the old cliche, well, it doesn't really matter. We all still love Jesus, and the main thing we ought to do is be telling people about Jesus, seeing that people get saved, to keep people out of hell. But ladies and gentlemen, that is all for naught if we do not believe that there is a rapture, that there is coming a day of tribulation, that there will be a day that the Lord Jesus Christ will rule and reign for 1,000 years in what's called the millennial reign. If you believe in the Revelation text, if you believe that it is real, then, ladies and gentlemen, it ought to be relevant and not allegorical. One of the major problems, Dr. Davis, I found with those that are mixed up theologically, doctrinally, on eschatological, prophetic, biblical truth, is that they do not have a chronological order of the book of Revelation. Let me just give our listeners a little thumbnail sketch in my book in relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ and about the Revelation text. Revelation chapter 1, you see Jesus unveiled. Revelation 2 and 3, you see Jesus speaking to the churches. Revelation 4 and 5, you see Jesus on the throne. Revelation 6 through 18, you see Jesus in the tribulation. Revelation 19, you see Jesus in his return. Revelation 20, you see Jesus in the millennial reign. Revelation 21, you see Jesus in heaven. Revelation 22, you see Jesus throughout all of eternity. And that is in a chronological order of what the book of the Revelation says. But these that have the postmillennial view, or those that have the post-tribulational view, or the amillennialist view, they simply allegorize the Revelation text. In fact, a dear pastor that I recently talked with said that he was an amillennialist. Right now we're living in the days of the tribulation. And when Jesus Christ, when we talk about the rapture is not present tense ready, but it will be in the future tense. When Jesus returns, we'll be raptured up and immediately return with him. And Dr. Davis, if that is true, if that chronology is true, then where's the marriage supper of the Lamb? If that is true, where's the judgment seat of Christ? Those things take place after the rapture, before the return, and we return with him. Therefore, we need to understand, ladies and gentlemen, a chronological order of things in the Bible, and especially when we look at the eschatological prophetic text. There's an order that God's given us that we need to understand and recognize. Ladies and gentlemen, if you believe Christians will have to endure God's wrath, the tribulation, you have a problem with eschatological truth and the chronological order. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll continue this conversation right after the top of the hour news. Hang in there. Don't turn your dials. We'll be right back right after the news.
Let's face the issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.
WTRJ Orange Park, WAYL St. Augustine.